Good morning, 8:27 a.m. on Tuesday, July 20th, 2021. 71 degrees, hazy and calm, and it is a brand new day. How are you, everybody? PC Herring here. We are joined on this walk by Baby Girl, and Baby Girl is being pushed by a very special guest on the walk and talk today. Baby Girl might call her grandma, but I just call her Mama. How you doing, Mom?
Just good.
Mom's a little nervous. She's not used to talking on mic. She's used to singing on mic, but not talking and walking. So, walk's a little bit later today because what did we just finish watching?
Launch of Blue Origin.
Ah, yeah. That was impressive, I have to tell you. I mean, I didn't see the Virgin Galactic launch. I saw the clips of it. But watching Blue Origin go up and come back down all in the span of, what was it, 11 and a half, 12 minutes?
Something like that.
Was a very impressive sight to be seen. I can't speak for anybody else who may have seen it, but it kind of throws me back to the days of the shuttle launches. Remember watching all those at the breakfast table?
Certainly do.
God, I think the first launch I have a conscious memory of seeing was, I want to say it was Columbia 1991 maybe, or whenever the first launch was, right after Challenger. I mean, not right after Challenger, but the one immediately following when the shuttle program restarted. This is the part where you respond, we're talking.
I don't remember what date it was.
No, I don't either, but yeah, we'll hit the street, and we've got a couple of cars blocking driveways in front of us, so. Oh, man. It's just something about it, you know? The shuttle's not going up anymore. NASA's not, you know, sending anybody up themselves these days, of course, but the fact that we have now three private companies that have successfully sent people up and back for varying degrees of time really says something to me. I mean, I don't know.
I think people want to explore, but a lot of people in government think there's better ways to spend money.
Yeah.
There's so much need here on Earth, and I get that. And yet I don't think we can remain static.
No, we can't.
And I grew up during...
I was going to say, you grew up with Apollo, didn't you?
I grew up with Mercury.
Oh!
I mean, I was a little kid, but I remember Mercury and John Glenn and Alan Shepard and Gus Grissom and all those Mercury astronaut heroes.
Ticker tape parades down New York City.
Absolutely. We'd watch it on the TV before we went to school.
Imagine what that would have looked like in high def back in the 60s.
It was, you know, it was John Kennedy saying, I want to be on the moon.
Yeah. And, you know, as a writer of science fiction, it's also very interesting to see how the technology... We're going to cross and go left. It's also interesting to see how the technology is evolving. I mean, based on our current understanding of the laws of physics and astrophysics and all that, the ships of Star Trek are little more than fantasy, although a very gorgeous and romantic fantasy. But seeing just the basis of the changes in the rockets and the technology between, you know, Apollo through now Blue Origin, you know, it's all fundamentally the same. It's all refined technology. I mean, we're talking an engine that was built in 2021 or 2020 as opposed to 1960s. But just seeing what they can do with it now. I don't think I've ever seen a main booster as small as what was pushing Bezos and his crew up today.
It was pretty small compared to NASA stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, granted, they weren't going into orbit, so you don't need as much thrust or as much You don't need as much thrust going up there. The capsule is, the payload's far lighter than anything the shuttle, I mean, the shuttle itself was a beast. Yeah. So you don't have to have that much thrust to get up there. But to see something that compact hit space in less than, hit space and back in 11 minutes is just incredible.
I remember Alan Shepard and John Glenn's first flights, it was like impossible, the impossible to be done, and they did it.
Yeah.
It's funny that this should be, maybe it was done by design, I don't know. I had TV on last night,
mm-hmm.
and I had Antiques Roadshow on. It was a rerun, but
mm-hmm.
they had a space and technology show.
Oh!
And they had so many artifacts from the Mercury program. You know, people in their 60s saying, oh, my dad was the doctor for John Glenn when he went up. And
that is so
here's
cool.
his picture and his signature. And Glenn and Shepard came to my house for dinner.
Oh, my Lord.
Just tons of stuff like that. One guy was on who had worked at NASA, and he had pictures and signatures and memorabilia. It kind of brings it all back, and maybe they ran it because of what's going on yeah. now this week in space or mm-hmm. up to space.
Well, and what was not a coincidence was the day of the use of today as the Blue Origins flight.
Absolutely.
What is it, 57 years now since yeah. Apollo 11 landed on the moon?
Yeah, something like that. I remember sitting up, it was like the middle of the night. At least for us kids.
Well, when you're that young, you know, 8 o'clock feels like the middle of the night. Take the compliment.
I remember sitting there with my dad, and the quality of the picture was so poor by today's standards.
What, no 4K Ultra HD?
Man, it was so meaningful at the
yeah.
same time.
I mean, I've seen clips of the moon landing, likely from YouTube when it's been put up there, and
sure.
watching Cronkite's reaction.
Oh,
and
yeah. He was the guy of our day.
I'll take the photo here.
Yeah. He was the Lester Holt of our day.
Yeah, tell me about
even
it.
More so.
But, I think one of the more interesting experiences I've had in my, now I won't call it my adult life, but my young adult life. I mean, obviously watching the first shuttle go up after the Challenger disaster was definitely something, though I was too young to fully comprehend it. Mom will tell you that I actually witnessed, well, not witnessed, but I saw on TV Challenger's final mission, and I don't have a conscious memory of it.
I do.
Well, I'm sure you do, but
I was terrified for them, but you were a toddler. I didn't want you to look at it.
And frankly, I was probably too young to really know what I was looking at.
I remember I took you out of the room as much as I wanted to stick to the TV. I took you out of the room, and I think we actually turned off the TV.
Probably did. How you feeling? You want to keep going or you want to head back?
No, we can go.
And we'll turn right here. But no, what I was going to say is, I remember I was in college. Was I in college? I had to have been in college. And I was visiting, we have some family down in Kansas City. I was taking summer courses, or I was in Des Moines, where I was attending school, for the summer that year. So I must have been in grad school, my guess is. And NASA was sending up a shuttle on Independence Day. And more so than any other shuttle launch, that really felt like something. That's the patriotic romantic in me. I mean, let's just cut to the chase on that. That is the patriotic romantic. But, our for as for as little as we have done in space, relatively speaking, and I don't pretend to know what our capabilities are or what, you know, technology would allow us to do it if we have had the budget. But for as little as we've done in space, that really felt like a statement of American space prowess, you know, sending up a shuttle on Independence Day is like, just like, oh man. But, so yeah, I mean, I mean, it hasn't been officially announced yet, but the doors are open for space tourism.
Yeah, but you know, they go up and down.
Hey.
We should be landing on the moon, we should be landing on Mars.
There is...
I know we have a camera on Mars. A helicopter-ish.
Yeah, we got more than
drone,
a... Yeah. But, that's the thing, is we're now flying helicopters remotely on Mars.
But we should be doing more. I know it's costly.
Yeah. You're not gonna find an argument on that in the Herring household, believe you me.
No, I know.
No, it's exciting today. I mean,
well, I think what we need is more of a national excitement.
Yeah.
For positive things.
Yeah, that's the challenge. Is you're right. Is, you know, back in the 60s, it was the space race. It was beating the Soviets. There was a reason to drive to space. We could do it better. We could do it first. And, you know, I mean, even as early as Apollo 13, people were saying, oh, this is just routine. People are doing this all the time now. It's over and it's done. And then Apollo 13 happened, and people woke up and realized, no, it's not really routine. Things can go horribly wrong, and
well,
we can lose people. I mean, we didn't,
we did,
but...
We did lose lots of... Well, we lost...
Apollo 1.
People in that horrible fire on the pad.
Yep.
Lost our heroes, our, you know, Gus Grissom and Roger Chaffee and White, and it was... a national tragedy.
Yeah. And we've obviously lost Challenger. We lost...
Challenger.
Crap, what was the other one?
Columbia?
It was Columbia, yeah.
Columbia.
You know, so it's not like...
No.
It's not like we have been casualty-free since.
No,
but
exploration has intrinsic risks.
And I don't think anyone who lost their lives in any of those three incidents... If they could come back now and tell us what they felt, I don't think they would tell us
to stop. No, I don't either. I mean, it's like, and I know I'm not the first one to make this comparison, exploration of the West.
Yeah.
It was unknown, it was dangerous at the time, people lost their lives.
Let's go even further back, crossing the Atlantic for the first time.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't mean to make light of the loss and the sacrifice, but exploration is inherently dangerous because you don't know what you're getting into, by definition.
Right.
And you have to be willing to take that risk in order to reap the reward of knowledge. Even baby girl agrees with us.
Of course. Well, as they say, no risk, no reward.
Sometimes
it's easy to say.
It's very easy to say. But
it's true.
Yeah. We are living in a world where, in theory, as a civilian, your granddaughter could buy a ticket on a rocket to go up to space.
She might, you know, work for NASA.
She might work for NASA or another company that's going up there. Hello. The keys are falling apart.
That's
yeah, the fobs on these, the car fobs always seem to pop on my. No, we can go back and cross and start working our way back. So. But no, it's exciting.
It's exciting. It's something to work for and something to strive for. And I think it needs to be it needs to be positioned as this is what the nation's striving for, or mankind is striving for. I know there are other things, but...
Well, there is... Go ahead.
We in the U.S. have somehow, sometimes, lost its collective purpose, that doing something like this provides that outlet, if you will.
There is a quote, quasi-monologue, from the movie adaptation of Contact. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know the premise, I'm not going to go into tons of detail, but basically Jodie Foster plays the main character who is very invested in the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Mm-hmm. She's a big proponent of the SETI project, and she has been fighting funding adversity, which anybody in academia or sciences could certainly attest to, the struggles with trying to find grant money. And she goes into a boardroom after boardroom after boardroom, and they're just rejecting her and rejecting her and rejecting her. And finally, she comes to this last one, and you know, she's putting this really good program together, and the director, unnamed character, looks at her and says, you know, this just feels like science fiction. You know, this just feels like science fiction and not anything practical. And she kind of Jodie Foster's character kind of loses her cool in front of the board, and she says, "Yeah, let's talk about science fiction. I hear there are these two guys down in Virginia who have this thing about man being able to fly like a bird. You know, clearly that's never going to work because that's just science fiction. Or you know, what about the concept of you know, transcontinental railroad or transcontinental flight or transatlantic flight?" Or putting a man on the moon, that is clearly science fiction. And she uses all these, she cites all these examples, and she does it much better than I ever could, about how it's always science fiction until someone
does it. Yep.
And of course, because this is Hollywood, and I don't remember how Sagan wrote it in the book, but of course, because this is Hollywood, the board of directors gets this mysterious phone call, and she realizes that she's been on camera the whole time, and she's suddenly a little nervous that she's really crossed a line. And the leader of this committee says, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir." Puts the phone down. "You got your money." Yeah. And that leads on to future story implications and stuff like that. But you know, it goes to the point of everything is science fiction. Everything is fiction, whether it's science or not, until
it's reality. That's right.
You know, are we going to be able to travel to Mars? Are humans going to be able to travel to Mars? Yeah, I think so.
Eventually.
Is it going to happen in my lifetime? Maybe. Is it going to happen in my daughter's lifetime? Probably. I would think it would. If not from government, then private entity?
If private enterprise still has the fire in the belly and the money to back it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think these private companies now are taking it on themselves because they see governments aren't doing it.
Well, there's that, and then there's a little more flippant reason.
Self-aggrandizement.
Not just that, but I mean, these guys, you know, Bezos and
Musk.
No, I'm not thinking about Musk, but I'm thinking Branson. Thank you. Bezos and Branson both said that they grew up watching Apollo and they were inspired.
Of course.
And so they're turning their wealth, their fortunes to these horizons. You know, people have described Elon Musk as a Bond villain because of all the things he can do. And frankly, if he's going to be a Bond villain, I'll take him. By the way, just so you know, this is the roofing contractor's home.
Yeah, I knew that.
But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. And I don't care personally if it's NASA or if it's or if it's SpaceX or Blue Origins or Virgin Galactic or whoever else comes to the fold in the next few years or decades, what have you, do the thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be space. If you've got something that drives you, if you've got something that motivates you and you have the resources to do it, or you have the means to gather the resources to do it, do the thing.
Are we crossing?
No, not yet. We'll cross at the sign and head and work our way back. We're almost back.
Okay.
But, you know, don't... I mean, it's easy for me to say, and it's not easy for me to do, because I can write, I can make music, and it is very difficult sometimes for me to sit down and practice, or to sit down and write the draft. But if you've got the motivation, if you've got the drive, what's stopping you? You don't have to have millions and millions and millions and billions of dollars to start something.
No, you don't. But I think you said something that was important, that Bezos and Musk and Branson said they were inspired as kids.
Mm-hmm.
We need that. We need kids to be inspired. We need kids to have role models and people who excel, that they can look up to and say, well, if that person can do X, I can do X or Y or whatever I want.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there's a lot of...
I think young people need maybe they need permission to dream, because they're so tied to social media.
Yeah.
They're so tied to their...
Electronics. And I'm guilty of that too, don't get me wrong.
That it doesn't leave much time for imagination and dreaming.
No, I hear you. And that's the other thing is, you know, not to go crazy political on this, but this, I think, further fuels the argument for the continued funding of STEM programs in public schools, science, technology, education, mathematics.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, those core subjects are really important for fostering the imagination and fostering the, we can cross the driveway to the sidewalk, and fostering the drive to dream. I mean, science and technology especially, I mean, for Pete's sake, I remember when I was in middle school, we did a technology expo of some kind. It wasn't a great thing. I mean, it was a middle school thing, but I remember we were sitting there playing with Legos and motorizing them and working on computer 3D modeling, which at the time was
a big deal.
I mean, unless you were in an MIT lab somewhere, you didn't have access to this. And, I mean, think about it this way. The phone in your pocket is easily 10, 15, 20 times, if not more so, smaller and thousands of times more powerful than the computers that put man on the moon.
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, if you just, you weren't old enough, but, you know, I can remember first computers, they took up entire rooms. And it shows it beautifully in the movie Hidden Figures.
I haven't seen that one yet. I do need to see it.
Oh, you need to see it. And, you know, well, this is our IBM. What's an IBM? It took up an entire conference room and meeting room and everything else at the Space Center.
Tom Hanks has a similar line in the Apollo 13 movie. He's walking bigwigs around the vehicle assembly building, and he's like, you know, computers that fit inside a single room, you know, and the Saturn V rocket, you know. And, yeah, I mean, the tech is here. The will needs to be there. And that's what needs to...
And the money.
And the money, of course, because money is king. But, no, I think if there's a message in today's walk, it's dare to dream, and dare to reach for those dreams, because the only person who's stopping you, at least at the start, is you. And at the end of it, if someone else is standing in your way, you can find someone else to, you can find another person who will absolutely open the door for you. So, quick note for the good of the order. There will be no walk and talk tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, or, well, tomorrow is Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday. I will be traveling on business. I may try to take some photos from where I am at and get them posted when I get back into town, but there will not be any walk and talk. I'm planning a Saturday walk for the patrons, but that will be dependent on how I'm feeling after the flight and everything else. So, we are coming up to the last turn. This is the part where I wish you and yours, and I think Mom wishes you and yours, a very happy, healthy, safe, and productive day today.
Have a great morning.
And tomorrow, and Thursday, and Friday. We will talk, I will talk with you, I don't know if Mom will be walking with me next, but I will talk with you patrons over the weekend, the rest of you on Monday. And as always, those days will be brand new days. Have a great one.